Hello and welcome to this episode of Not Just Ghost Stories. I'm your host Josh, joined by Jackie and Laura. We are a small team of experienced paranormal investigators, and here we discuss different locations that we've investigated, along with a little history and the paranormal evidence that we found. Today, we're going to be talking about a location that we've already talked about once before, but this place is so interesting and has so much cool stuff. It's Octagon Hall out of Franklin, Kentucky. The reason why we went down there is we had talked about it a little bit before on our last episode about Octagon Hall as far as the Anunnakian. And he ended up coming to me in dreams and to Laura in other ways. But Jackie, could you explain to us a little bit about what an Anunnakian is?
Yes, I can. Basically, they were gods in the Sumerian, Arcadian, Assyrian, and Babylonian cultures. They referred to as angels in the Sumerian tablets. And according to the Sumerian tablets, the Anunnaki, Ninil, asked the Council of Seven to create a heavenly garden, i.e., which is the Garden of Eden. The Anunnakian were thought to possess extraordinary powers. They were basically gods. They were envisioned as giants and were depicted wearing horn caps with up to seven pairs of ox horns on the cap. Not water buffalo, ox horns. They were believed to reside in the heavens, and they participated in the assembly of gods through which all decisions were made. In the Mesopotamian myth, Anunnakians decided the fate of humans, initially associated with the heavens, but as time went on, they became more involved in earthly and in human affairs. In the Babylonian creation epic, the chief Babylonian god had authority over 600 Anunnakian gods. 300 resided on earth, 300 resided in heaven. In the Epic of Gilgamesh, he put the Anunnakian as the judges of the dead, of the human dead. The Anunnakian weren't worshipped collectively. You won't find one church where you went to worship them all. Each had an individual cult, individual followers, individual statues, and individual temples. But basically, they were gods.
All right. And the crazy thing is finding something like that on our first investigation at Octagon Hall.
In a barn.
But the thing that was crazy is he said to all of us, "I will remember you." And that's where this next part comes. Laura, I know, like I said, I had had dreams. I had seen what he looked like in dreams. What about you?
For me, it was during meditation times.
Okay.
Just kind of like a knocking, you know, and at first I just didn't pay any attention to it because a lot of times there is knocking when I, you know, try to get up to that space. But this one just kept happening. And when I finally was, you know, okay, just done with it, that was when I discovered that it was the Anunnakian. And he, you know, was just kind of looming in the beginning. And then it was, you know, you gotta come. Something's going to happen. So obviously we decided to go back.
Well, now to stop you real quick, in my dreams, he was like, "I need you here now. I need you here now," is what he kept telling me. "You need to come now. It's time to come now." And then you and I both decided to do a fire gaze. We were just having a nice bonfire one night and said, "You know what? Let's kind of scry the fire a little bit." And then when we came to, do you remember that?
Yep.
What'd you get out of it?
I mean, I could just see him just kind of like beckoning, you know, he was there and just like dancing in the fire, I guess you could say. But the silhouette of him was what I already known I had seen him as when we were at Octagon Hall the first time.
Can I stop you here? Josh, can you describe what he looked like to you? And then Laura, can you describe what he looked like to you?
Mm-hmm. For me, almost dark, but you can see features of him. Slender, tall, had some kind of headdress, but I couldn't really make it out for me. And the way my dreams come to me is sometimes I know what I dreamt, but I can't remember what I've dreamed. With this one, I remember what I'm dreaming. But it was always a darker silhouette, headdress, robes almost type of thing. Definite entity. I'd probably venture to say 7.5 feet tall compared to, you know, our normal height. That kind of is what I was seeing overall. And even in that fire scry, that's what I saw.
So for me, yes, 7.5. He's tall, beyond human tall, or normal human tall, I guess. But definitely dark, but yet at the same time, the brightest dark I've ever seen. I mean, like his silhouette is, it looks really big, but I think a lot of that is like what I would think is a cloak in a way. But there's an outline of like light that's around him that I see.
And what color? I'm going to tell you the color of the light that I saw. And
for it's me, red.
For you, it's red. For me, it's more purple. And I would probably say purple amber is what I'm looking at.
Jackie, what does he look like to you?
Totally different. He looks to me like a lumberjack. He's only about, I'm 5'4". He's probably maybe, he's under 6 foot, maybe like 5'11" or something like that. And he has work boots on, jeans with, you know, instead, you know how they used to roll the jeans up? They're rolled up like twice. They're rolled up at the bottom. And he has a red flannel shirt on. And he's not that tall, like I say, and he is slender. And I don't want to say he's really dark. He just, you know, I see him and I think, oh, lumberjack.
As far as the slender, the only part about him that I see is slender is at times he appears even taller than that 7 and 7.5 feet. And when that happens, it's like his legs get skinnier the taller he is.
Now, the first time I saw him when he was in the barn before I saw him, but I knew there was something up there, he was big. He was big and slender. But once we talked to him and stuff, he just presents like, you know, you're walking down the street and you see a lumberjack.
Now, the one thing I'm going to say, I've been having these dreams for, I guess, a couple months by the point that we did the fire scry. I'd already kind of told Jackie and I already told Laura, like, this is what's happening. I don't know exactly what it is. We were still trying to research exactly what this dream could possibly be until we started to figure out the, and then Laura started getting calls. Not long after that is finally Laura and I both went Jackie and said, we know what it is. We got to go. We have to go to Octagon Hall. Then not long after that, a picture came up from Octagon Hall. Somebody had taken out inside that barn and I looked at it and said, oh man, that's exactly what I see. It was placed on Facebook. It had literally just happened that way. And that for me was like everything kind of validating. Okay. This is what I keep seeing.
Yeah. My heart definitely skipped a couple of beats when I saw that picture. Because obviously we'd already discussed amongst us what he looked like and already knew that we all seen different things, but then to see a picture that is pretty spot on of what you've had in your mind is creepy.
And by this time, I believe we had already even scheduled a time and paid for it to go down there. I think we're going down like the next month in order to see everything. Might have been 2 months from that point.
I think it was 2 months because I think he was getting a little antsy and a little bit angry that we weren't
coming right away. Yeah. So with that being said, we now make our trek down to Octagon Hall. And when we pulled onto property, the feel was different to me. What was the feel to you guys?
Well, first, the physical aspects had changed. Where there were once fields, they now had rented out the fields, and a lot of them were enclosed by a fence, and there were a whole bunch of sheep there, and of course the guard dogs that watched the sheep and everything. So everything was fenced in now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that he can't get to all of that now.
Well, we still could get to certain areas of the property. There's still the two barns. There's, of course, the house itself. There's the outdoor or the summer kitchen is what they called it. The little wall where Andrew Jackson Caldwell's wife and child were buried, right, in that section. And then the other graveyard that's on off to the side, but that had more of a fence area around it now, too.
Yeah, you couldn't get past where Laura and I had gone through the field and met the, I call them wood sprites or wood elves or whatever. You couldn't get back there anymore.
No, and I had been looking forward to that part.
But like I said, when we first pulled up, I just kind of looked around and went, to me, something at that point was off. I didn't know exactly what it was yet. I don't think it was the owner. Was it the owner that was there that day? It was that older gentleman.
I think it was.
Was that the owner?
I think it was.
Okay.
No, he was not the owner. The first time, I believe, was the owner. This guy was just, he was helping out. He was letting us in.
Okay. You know, we talked to him for a few minutes. He had asked us, hey, have you ever been here? We're like, yep, we know everything that's going on here. We even told him, hey, we're kind of here to investigate outside a whole lot more. And he said, there's a whole lot of stuff that happens outside. So it's always been something that's happened there. He even brought up some stuff that we hadn't talked about before out there.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, getting into that, that's when we're kind of like, okay, we really need to set up. So first thing we did, straight out to the barn with Anunnakian.
Well, the first thing we did was go in the house because Laura kept saying, it's not time to go to the barns. But I was in the house and all I could do was look out the window. And I thought, no, now is the time to go to the barn, mm-hmm. which we did go out there. But we got nothing that first time we came back and then went, or?
Yeah.
Nothing. I think we went out there and took some pictures and was like, we stale.
Yeah.
I think that maybe because he had been contacting you, he didn't contact me. There's a couple of reasons. One, I'm not psychic and they are. And two, I had already kind of told him I was on his side. So he never contacted me. But just from listening to the way he kept bothering you guys, I don't know. I kind of expected like the Anunnakian to go, about damn time you got here, and to meet us, you know, in the middle of the driveway or something.
Well, we had gone out there and set up a trail cam.
Yes,
we did. We had set up some other pieces of equipment out there for future that we knew we were going to want or need in the future out there. And then we just kind of went back to the house at that point because we were like, things are kind of not right this second. So, I mean, Laura, what do you remember about going out to the barn the first time?
I remember it being stale. Nothing.
Yeah. I mean, it was like kind of a letdown almost.
It was kind of like, oh my gosh, do not tell me that we drug ourselves all the way here to find out that we're just crazy.
Yeah. So it was a letdown, but we're like, well, you know, let's go. We ended up, I think, walking out to the graveyard, and then that's when we saw that it was totally fenced in all the way around. We kind of did some EVP sessions out there, you know, and then different parts of the outdoor. We just kind of walked around, decided to go back inside and start to kind of set some more stuff up. But the one thing I will say is, I took my recorder out. I know I took my recorder outside when we were doing all of this. I know I hit the play button. I know I'm like, okay, I want to record everything that's going on with everything on this property. And I had absolutely zero EVPs because nothing recorded outside whatsoever. I mean, what's your guys' theory on that?
We did find, I do remember, there was that one tree by the house that I just kept thinking, there was a portal there or a gateway or something. And then as you went out, you could only go so far. And there was a fence. There were three trees within the fence that I thought, I don't like those trees. Something happened out there too.
Yeah. That was right next to the old, I guess
kitchen.
Was it the old kitchen or was it the old slave quarters? That all fallen down now.
Yeah.
So whatever it was, I mean, I think even at this point, by, you know, when we first got there, the chimney stack was the first time we went was still standing. Then now it wasn't standing anymore. That had finally fallen over too.
That was from the storm they had.
So, yeah, out there. And I, like I said, I remember recording every single bit of this. However, when I was going through the recordings, nothing came through. Do you guys have any theories on why that could be?
Because ghosts like to mess with us.
We've had other things happen with evidence from Octagon Hall, though. As far as, you know, they were on a computer and then they weren't on a computer. And so...
We get that quite a bit. Sweet Springs, that man that I saw, that your son saw, that neither of you saw, it really wasn't on the video, and yet I saw him on the video. Gaines Tavern, that entire first conversation we walked in the house, gone.
Mm-hmm.
So we get that quite a bit.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that they're able to control those things to some extent, obviously. If not, then we just really need to read the owner's manuals again. We got to be doing something wrong.
I do take them with me on the ghost hunt. I have every owner's manual with me.
Well, I mean, with that being said, after we'd kind of done some stuff outside, we'll kind of get back into the portal. We went back inside the house, said, what are we going to do? And I think we just kind of really waited it out. So we had some feeling as far as, like, now is the time to go back out to the barn. We kind of just walked around the main floor and kind of checked some stuff out. We were getting ready to go down to the basement until, I think it was Laura, you finally said, we need to go back outside.
Yeah, it was just, I guess, like a veil had been lifted. And I hadn't heard anything from, you know, anybody, per se. But you could feel the energy shift. So that, of course, made me very excited. Like, oh, maybe this is going to happen.
Well, and right after she said that, the one thing I remember was the sheep that were next door. Started going
nuts.
They started going nuts. They were, you know, just as loud as all get out. We were like, what the heck's going on? And it was even dark by this time.
I was
going
to say it was dark. The sheep should have been settled down.
So, it's amazing what different noises can come out of a sheep.
I will have to try to post some of that audio off of Laura's recorder, because Laura's recorder did pick up the outside stuff. My recorder, however, did not pick up anything.
I think I turned mine off the minute I went out there and went, oh, hell no.
So Laura does have, you know, recordings, but the sheep were doing some crazy stuff. And of course the dogs, when they were barking, so I was thinking, well, maybe, you know, some type of predator. However, we walked to the barn, and you can hear it on Laura's recording. They were going nuts. We walked to the barn, we opened the door, and they stopped.
What is it about this barn? Why a barn?
They literally, we opened the door of the barn, all the sheep stopped, the dogs stopped barking, and it was like, it was almost eerie quiet when we decided to walk into that barn. But we walked into the barn. Who wants to talk about what happened next?
Well, two things. The first time we were there, he never came down from the loft where he was. This time he came down. He started coming towards us, actually.
Yeah.
And also, there was a very fast moving, dark, small shadow darting everywhere. Just going nuts. It'd come towards us, then it'd go away, then it'd be around the Anunnaki, and then it was here, there, everywhere.
Think of a pinball machine.
Yeah.
It was very almost chaotic type of energy coming from that little shadow that we have still yet to really identify. But I can remember, like, at one point being over on the side, and it came, I mean, coming running up behind me, like it was trying to scare me. You know, but I remember turning around very fast, And it just took off the other way. I mean, it was probably one of the fastest moving shadow style figures I have ever seen myself up to this point. I mean, we've seen quite a few of different, some weird stuff, but that one was just kind of crazy to me. I mean, Laura, you know.
I mean, usually when you see a shadow, especially one that's bouncing that fast, it's almost like it has to fade out. Like that's all it had. It's got to remingle itself. This one just kept going.
It was like the Energizer Bunny.
Yeah, like a tumbleweed. Just keeps going.
And as the shadow is, we're kind of watching the shadow because you're almost like, you know, where is it now? Where is it now? Where is it now? The energy started changing. And when you took your attention off the shadow, you realized that the Anunnakian was actually walking closer to us.
Yeah.
And he got to a point where I was uncomfortable. So.
Well, and then at that point, I believe it was, I can't remember if it was you, Jackie, or you, Laura, one of you brought up the point, I don't think this is him.
It was me, and I realized what he was doing. That shadow was a decoy, and we were supposed to keep the attention on that.
I was going
to
say it was like a cat and mouse.
Yep. But when, as I became uncomfortable that he was there, and he was, I believe we were talking to him, and he was kind of answering our questions, and it just came to me, this is an Anunnakian. This is I called him a mimic, because, I mean, he was mimicking the Anunnakian.
I mean, the big difference was, so when the Anunnakian was there, meaning the first time we went, and he remained in the loft area, he didn't need to do anything to let you know that he was powerful and you were not even an ant.
Yeah, you just felt it.
Right.
And he didn't do it to be rude, crude, or anything. It just is. This thing was like, oh, I'm going to get up on you. Like almost it needed the fear in order to be able to do those things. And so when Jackie, you know, pointed out, like, I don't think this is the same thing. You really think about it. It's like, well, no, why would an Anunnakian need to distract you to get closer to you?
Well, then what I started to think of at that point was, okay, for some reason, the power that we felt the first time was nowhere near as strong as the power we felt the second time we went. And I don't feel like it was as big, I guess you could say. I'm trying to think of a different word or a different term to what you felt the first time, or what I even felt the first time, because I don't get scared a whole lot. I had fear the first time that we went and was standing in the barn, and I'm looking up at that loft area going, I don't know if I could even come close to even walking underneath that loft area. Whereas this time, I just didn't feel that. It wasn't as big or prominent, I guess you could say, energy.
What we felt the first time was somebody very, very comfortable with what he was. And what he was a god, and we were ants. If he wanted to step on us, we were dead. If he wanted us dead, we were dead. We had no choice in the matter. But he was very comfortable with what he was, so that once I asked him to tone it down a bit, he did, because he didn't need us to fear him, mm-hmm. because there's nothing we could do to him and stuff. This time the Anunnakian was going for fear, and I thought, why is he going for, he doesn't need us to fear him. Why is he trying to make us fear him?
I really think that's why we were drawn there. And that energy was not one that we experienced the first time we were around anywhere on the property. And so you almost have to wonder if, I don't know, in the game of gods, it was to prove a point that we would come because one asked. I don't know.
Well, I overall think that this was not the Anunnakian that we knew from the first previous one. I think we were led there to try to, quote unquote, switch sides somehow. I don't think that this was the big overall one that we know the first time.
No.
This was something smaller, but wanted the power to do something.
Well, I think he's trying to get the power. If you had said, and that was one of the reasons why he never contacted me, because I had said the first time I met that Anunnakian that I'm on his side. I mean, you know, self-preservation, you align yourself with the person that can kill you just by, you know, snapping his fingers. I was on the Anunnakian side. So I had already decided which side, and I got the impression that, and sometimes I got the impression that it was our Anunnakian and this guy had some sort of bet going on. I don't know. It was like a game almost.
Yeah, like a game of the gods.
Yeah.
Like somebody, one of them had a point to prove, and I really believe, okay, so our original Anunnakian, I believe, is the wise one. And it's almost like he was teaching this one a lesson.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it and stuff, because this one was using fear. This one was pushing for us to reclaim ourselves. The last Anunnakian, I just told him, hey, you know, good luck to you. I'm kind of on your side and stuff. So this one was pushing us to make that choice. The first one didn't. So, and of course, true to our model, I had to call him out on it and tell him that I hope he did find the Anunnakian, and the Anunnakian was going to kick his ass.
Yep. Which changed a little bit of the energy at that point, I will say, because she was, Jackie, I would almost venture to say that you were almost angry.
I was pissed.
Yeah.
I had just been played and I didn't like it.
Yeah. We, for some reason, you know, were led down there by whether it be the Anunnaki we know or whatever the hell this was. But Jackie was angry and she basically told him exactly how she felt.
Yeah.
it was...
Basically, I told him he was a piece of shit and he was going to get his ass kicked. The thing I forgot, though, is that we had a trail cam there.
Yeah.
And I should have told Josh, get the trail cam. We're getting the hell out of here, because I knew we weren't going to go back to the barn. And so you did mention, I said, yeah, let's take the trail cam. So then I just call this god a piece of shit and...
Oh, yeah, by the way, hold on, don't do anything until I get this off of here.
And Josh, come on, Josh, get the stuff, let's go. It's bad timing on my part.
We had to kind of, you know, wrap everything up really quick because the energy totally shifted when she started calling. And it was a angry then type of energy, not a fearful, like trying to fear me, you know. It was an anger then energy, and we all three went, uh-oh, we got to go.
You know, and for me, I still have one of the original questions. Why there?
Odd enough,
you meet one.
I always got the impression the first one, that was his prison cell.
Prison.
He has range because he did come down and he did come into the summer house. So he's not stuck in that barn, but I think he's stuck in that. And I wonder if that has something to do with a vortex or a portal that he's attached to.
Well, while we think about that, that's where we're going in this episode at. Because there's a whole lot more on Octagon Hall.
Oh, yeah.
That we had go on that night, inside and outside. So
and there was a snake skin too.
There was a snake skin. So we're going to leave everybody with that. And come back and talk to you more about the Anunnaki and plus everything else that happened. So with that being said, this has been Not Just Ghost Stories. We've been your hosts, Josh,
Laura,
and Jackie.
And until next time, you can find information and contact us on our website at notjustghoststories.com or on our any evidence that we've seen on Facebook at Not Just Ghost Stories. Thanks.